Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
All right, you're very welcome along to this week's Friday Night Racing, and we're delighted here to be with you on Champions Weekend, because we've kind of been looking forward to it for months now. But finally it's here, and Fran Berry is here with us to talk about it. Fran, how are you?
Great. Couldn't be better, Ger. All good, thanks.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, a bit of a change since the last year, but all good.
It's a good sign, Johnny, that they're coming back.
Yeah, it could be the first double appearance this season, isn't it? Yeah. Happy days.
Yeah, it is a bit of a change, because when you were in with us the last time, I think you were just about to announce, or you had just announced that you were finishing up.
Yeah, I hadn't announced at that stage. I was kind of battling against myself, I suppose, with doctor's advice and trying to prove them wrong in the gym and that. And it probably took a month after that just to, you know, really get my head around it. And it's been a big change.
Was it weird at first?
The worst was the month leading up to the call. You know, you're in bed tossing and turning whether this is the right thing, or, well, you've no choice in the matter, but you're trying to find a way around it. And you're wondering what's out there, what's next. And that was the hardest thing. Once the decision was made, it was nearly like a relief to just put it out there.
Can you bring us back to that conversation with the doctors, where they're like, listen,
yeah,
is it straightforward? Are they blunt? Do they build up to it slowly? Or do you know it's coming?
Yeah, he sent it by email, Dr. Foy.
By email?
In so many words, he's a good man. He's Dr. Foy is, he'll be like the Paddy Kenny of the surgeons in Ireland. Jockey's in England. He's an orthopaedic surgeon. And he just seen my latest scans and he said, I'll see Fran Berry in 3 weeks' time. But in the meantime, he can have a think about his new career. So he was kind of letting it out, you know.
Yeah.
Until I met him, then he put me on notice, but you know, then you're in a bit of turmoil.
Is that a shock when that email arrives? Are you like,
in my heart, I knew I was battling in the gym, and my neck movement and strength wasn't responding the way we wanted to, you know, in all the rehab work. Usually any injury I've had, you can see progress in the rehab, and it wasn't happening, so it wasn't a total shock. Yeah.
Are you happy that the decision was made now, that like you've made peace with the fact that your health is by far the most important thing in all this?
Oh, definitely. Look, I know how lucky I was. That was a horror fall in Wolverhampton that day, and I've colleagues who've come off a lot worse in falls. I feel very, very lucky to be walking around and as normal and can do things with my family and start a new career. So no, I feel blessed, and I was 38. I'd ridden for 23 years. You know, it's not like I didn't. I felt like I hadn't missed much. You know, if it was 10 years earlier, maybe it'd be different.
You were hardly improving as well.
Slowing down.
But it's a good career. Like 23 years, you know,
it's a great career. You know, it's like you should be able to celebrate.
Yeah.
At the end of something like that, I don't know if you feel like that because it's taken away from you. Not on your own terms.
No, I do. I definitely appreciate it. And, as I said, on reflection, there's nothing that I feel like, God, I missed that or want to do that. Or, you know, I think I covered a lot of ground. And I think I've done far better than what I ever expected to do, starting off or hoped to do. So, it's something I can look back on fondly. And luckily, since then, I've been busy and I've had a lot of things to move on to.
Well, I was going to talk about that, because obviously you've become a mainstay on telly as well. How's that working out?
Very enjoyable, yeah. Very enjoyable. Very grateful for the opportunity initially with Racing TV. And I've been doing a little bit with ITV Up and Down and Skybet and Sport and Life as well, so it's been all go, and really enjoying it today. Being at all the meetings, and it's good.
Sometimes people who are in heavy into sport as a professional or even as an amateur, but they're forced not to be part of what the thing that made them famous and great in the first place, you don't really want to be around, because you kind of feel like you're a spare wheel. Did you have any of that at the start, or was that like, actually, look, new life, new career, happy enough, let's go?
Yeah, you know, it was about 2 days after announcing my retirement, and I just sat around a cup of tea and I said to my wife Laura, I said, God, if you didn't have something upcoming, you know, and I knew there was a couple of gigs coming up that I was going to get the opportunity to have a go at, and there was a great comfort to have that, so I embraced it rather than ran away from it, and haven't said no to any offers of work that's come my way since. And it's been great. I've been at, as I said, all the bigger flat meetings, smaller ones, and reconnecting with, you know, Irish racing, and, you know, keeping contact with the English scene, which has been really enjoyable.
And enjoying that, like actually enjoying it, or is there still a little bit of you that goes, ah, jeez, I want to be out there?
I look to the good days. You know, you're in York and you see them going out. I rode Thundering Blue the year before in the Judmont International, and you're there commentating it. You know, you do get a little twinge, but equally, as I said, it's everything has its time, and you know, I'm looking forward and trying to improve what I'm doing in this new game. So there's a little bit of it, but you know, you focus on other things, and trying to find a winner now is the next next thing, every race I'm looking at, you know.
Did you move back after that as well?
Yeah, we're back home. Back home, living in County Kildare, which is good with a young family and having your family around you. And we're, you know, you're away for 3 years, so you kind of appreciate those around you a bit more, I suppose.
Yeah, no, totally. You come back, oh, actually, the place is not bad at all.
Not as bad as
you. When you look at Jack Byrne, you know, coming back from the Ireland game and just speaking about how great it was to be home with his mother and that, and I think... Jack Byrne is actually having a great season, partly because he's happy and he's at home. He's not going around English clubs, and we shouldn't underestimate it. It's great to live at home and have your family around you. I've said that a million times. Like, I mean, if you know, I'd want to be offered a lot of money to leave Ireland, like, as I really do enjoy it. And I think it's great to have the comforts, like having your dad and your mom there as well.
Definitely. But that said, we had 3 wonderful years in England. Like, I wouldn't change it. We've made great friends, and it's been a great life experience. But home is home, and you know, you just it's comfortable in it, and you know, as I said, people that you haven't seen day to day, now you can catch up with them, and you know,
Okay, great. Before we talk about the Longines Irish Champions weekend, we should talk about the big racing story overnight, which comes from the New York Times in the States about Justify having failed a test in advance of doing the Triple Crown last year. Johnny, this is it's not a great story coming from American racing.
That'd be a bit of an understatement, really, you know. The attitude, I suppose, over here to American racing is that they should be a lot tougher on drugs. I know Jim Bulger's kind of made that point about his indifference towards running horses in the Breeders' Cup. He's like, get rid of the drugs and maybe I'll go over there. But I think this is really damaging. You know, American racing is, it's a really interesting story, American racing, in that American racing was absolutely huge, and sort of in the 50s and 60s, the decision was made not to go along with the TV revolution for various reasons, but like racing was sort of left behind then by field sports, in effect. And so American racing now day to day is really, you know, it's kind of the dregs over there, and it's only the odd meeting that gets the public going. But there would be, you know, across the developed world, there's... animal welfare is becoming a major issue. I've seen it, in, you know, particularly in Britain, and I've major issues with sort of the premise of it. But at the same time, when you read the New York Times this morning, a paper that has so much, you know, sway and hold, and you have a headline, Justify failed a drug test before winning the Triple Crown, and it was effectively suppressed. I think it's seriously damaging to racing, full stop. I think it's really, really damaging to the image of racing, and I think a lot of floating voters will read that who have reservations about racing and say, well, there you are.
I would say in America the floating voter doesn't care, because they watch their amped up athletes on a week by week basis, and if you fail a drugs test in American football, you get a 4-game ban. So the attitude in American sports seems to be, we want to see everybody doing things that we can't do ourselves, and how they get there, we don't seem to care.
Maybe you're right on that. Yeah, I you could be right in that. I suppose racing's a bit different in that. There's also the issue of how are these horses being treated if they're, you know, if they've drugs in them. It's a very bad headline, and you got to look at the authorities over there. Like, what was the thought process? You know, we've had
the thing as well about that is that because the New York Times are on this story, and obviously we need to see what the response from the authorities is before you rush to condemn. All the facts have to be established, and obviously they will argue that X, Y, and Z needed to happen before they were going to make this public, or if they were going to make it public. But it's interesting that they didn't, and that it comes out in the New York Times. That's the kind of the killer thing here. Did you race in America? Well,
no, the only time I rode in North America was in Canada last year. I was second on Thundering Blue to horse Dave Simcox, and you know, it was in £1 million race, and Dave Manuzia and his owner decided to go Lasix free. You know, you can legally run on drugs over there, and we went on basically a non-medicated horse, and we got beaten by a medicated horse. So
just explain that, because I think people won't understand that. So Lasix is
basically to stop horses bleeding, and that when they come under pressure, they go through a certain, you know, a certain stress, and it can cause them to burst a blood vessel, is a technical term, and that reduces their finishing ability, and they tend to run below form. So in America, in Europe, Ireland, and Europe, you can't run on drugs like that, and in America you can do it on a day, and it has to be a big improvement, because I quick enough to win on Thunder and Blue and win well, and this horse shot by me like I was stood still. So you know, it was the first thing that went through my head pulling up, you know.
It's also just Bob Baffert, when you read a sentence, only a few people however knew the secret that Baffert carried with him into the winner's circle that day. justify had failed a drug test weeks before the first race in the Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, Bob Baffert, he obviously in the right to reply and all that, but his reputation is in serious trouble after that, because it's the implication that he knew something and he didn't let on.
Now, he's obviously going to say that it was contaminated feed and so therefore no big deal. So that's exactly what he'll say. And so in these cases, there are definitely genuine cases where something happens, there is a contamination, and for every one of those cases there's 100 people who are actually trying to cheat, and we don't know, that hasn't been established in this case just yet. So he will of course argue that his reputation is going to come out the other side of this, and you're going to assume horse racing authorities are going to say that, look, we investigated that, we found the contaminated feeds, nothing to see here.
Yeah, and you know, we have to be conscious in Ireland as well that we've had situations of, you know, disgraced vets being found in the possession of, you know, an awful lot of steroids, and we have to ask, where were they going? So we have to be very wary of this in Ireland, because it was never really clarified in the case that I referred to there what these drugs were actually going to, who they were going to, and we should always be suspicious of racing, because drugs are drugs and drugs are basically everywhere, and I would
implore the Lasix clearly works.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Like, and the question with the Lasix is it justifiable or not? Pardon the pun, but can you justify Lasix or not? Fran would know that a lot better than me, but I would argue that horses that, you know, bleed in the process of sort of the evolution of racing, horses that bleed should kind of not be reproducing horses, because they're probably genetically more likely to bleed as well, in that we should be the survival of the fittest here, so we shouldn't need drugs to stop horses bleeding.
Yeah.
If I've been involved in horses that bleed, and you're immediately, I really want to get out of this, because you can't trust them. And also from the welfare of the horse, it's obviously not a comfortable thing to be racing, like flat out, it's like running a marathon basically, gulping for breath, because you just can't go through with your effort, and it's not nice. So Lasix to me is something that we should be very wary of, but it was a horrible thing to wake up to if you're a racing fan, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Lasix sounds like the archetypal performance enhancing drug. It's like literally enhances your performance. That's why
it does, because it stops something bad happening that will take back from your performance. So I think we have a much better attitude, and but I would always implore the Turf Club, now the IHRB, to just keep at this, like, because it is something that we should never be complacent about.
No, because confidence in a sport disappears so quickly, and you absolutely need to address this constantly and to be open and talk about it, because every single sport has a problem with this. So
absolutely,
no sport is immune from the notion that somebody is going to try and take a shortcut.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Champions Weekend. A Japanese raider suggests that we're hitting like a high watermark for this again. The fact that somebody is willing to send Deirdre, is the name of the horse?
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing it the correct Japanese way? Deirdre?
Yeah, Deirdre, yes, it'll be Deirdre will be trending in Ireland on Saturday, which is great. Like, we've obviously had Deirdre, the Agony Aunt. We've had Deirdre Rashid, who was wrongly incarcerated in Coronation Street. So now we have a bigger Deirdre again, and it's the first Japanese runner in Ireland. It's Pat Keogh, all his air miles, you know, he eschewed all notions of global warming concerns by travelling to Japan, I think 12 times, I think he said, 12 times to try and get a Japanese raider. And the timing of it is quite strange, because Pat has just become, you know, the current chief as well. He's leaving Leopardstown, and his swan song is that final realisation of the Japanese runner. She's not box office over there, and we'd be lying to say if she were. She's not deep impact or anything like that, but it's a massive coup. It genuinely is. There'll be huge interest over there.
Yeah, so racing in Japan is huge. You've been over there, you were saying, outside 6 or 7 summers, winters.
Yeah, that's right, and it's the nearest thing to Premiership football in England. That's the only way I can describe it. And, you know, you see the Irish rugby team taking off this morning to Japan or yesterday and landing, and that'll be Deirdre going on the horse box and getting off the horse box. There'll be a camera crew following her.
Really?
And when she lands into Leopardstown,
really,
following
yeah.
her, yeah, oh, wow. no doubt, and it'll be either broadcast live or sent back for the right time zone, and it's got that kind of a following, and it'll be on the main news channels, and, you know, jockeys over there, if you get married, they end up in Hello Magazine,
right,
or, you know, it's got that
not
kind of
state. To you.
No, God, no.
I was at Laytown yesterday, and it was like, I came in with this real piece of crap laptop that has to be plugged in, so I needed a socket. There was no socket within about like 10 yards, so one of the Laytown boys comes in, and he reels in one of these like extension cords, or whatever. So finally, but there was a fella beside me who bumped into me, who was also looking for a socket, and I looked over, and it was this Japanese journalist, and I was like, what are you doing in Laytown? He's obviously here to see Deirdre. Like,
right,
so
and he was here.
He was in Laytown
yesterday.
And he was reporting away, and it was like,
right, that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, great stuff. And like there was a Japanese journalist that. There's Deirdre in All Her Glory. Yeah, and Japanese journalist in Ballydoyle, I think, for Aidan's thing last week, and it's on Pat Kyo. At least he's kind of putting forward that the timing of the race is to suit the Japanese channel over there, because is the Green Channel?
The Green Channel would be the equivalent. They're a racing channel, and it's got a huge following, and you know, it's most watched sports channel in Japan, from what I can gather.
Which is incredible, you know, and it's just so much interest. Racing is peripheral over here, but over in the Middle East, or in the Far East, it can be so big.
And I presume that's a massive market then for breeders here, and for, like, it's another. Do we do a lot of business with Japan at the minute?
Yeah, you can't buy a raced horse and bring it to Japan. It's got to be born in Japan got to race first time out in Japan. But they buy a huge amount of mares to bring out to mix with their stallions. They've been doing it for 20 years. Hence, it's come to fruition now that 20 years on, they're some of the best middle distance horses in the world are Japanese trained and bred, because since the early 80s they've been building up a stock of blue bloods, if you like, European blue bloods, American blue bloods, and it's a huge industry. And you know, if Deirdre can shape up anyway well on Saturday, she's not the top drawer out there. She's a Group 1 winner, but she's not a vintage campaigner out there, if you
right.
like. So if she can shape up well, it could open the floodgates in that. It'll encourage them to come back with better horses.
Like I was in I've been in Paris to see, like, when the Japanese have run it. When Deep Impact was over there, like, he was probably realistically maybe a 4-1 shot, 5-1 shot. He was sent off something like 2-1 on the tote, because they just lash money in. Like, and Emmett Mullins had Fujimoto Flyer winning in France, a listed race last week, and Emmis, when she was a yearling, I think he went over and bought 3 or 4 yearlings from Japan, and it was kind of forward thinking, and she's Japanese bred, and now she's probably worth a lot of money, and she's a very valuable 3-year-old hurdler.
So why is he doing that?
I guess was just thinking outside the box, and you know, the Deep Impact sadly passed away about 2-3 weeks ago, but like he'd a huge impact with his small kind of selection of runners over here, and I guess it's just a mixture of the breeding, you know, from the two parts of the world as well, but it's worked out for Emmett anyway, and it'd be lovely to see a few Japanese people in, and you know, to help to the tourism value of Dublin as well. Like,
yeah, it's I didn't realise it. Like, obviously it's a the realization of a long plan to do this, and like, do we send that many runners over ever?
Very few. You know, it's funny as well.
Can you send a runner over?
Yeah, you're welcome to challenge for any of their Group 1s, the older horse ones, but mainly it's the Japan Cup in November. You know, there's Aidens around Capri in the past out there and the likes of that horse, type of horse.
Okay. I'd say it's just so competitive, it mightn't be worth your while. Like,
well, you're taking on the best mile and a half horses in their backyard, you know, and they're very hard to beat. They've been trained for it. European horses coming on the back of a summer campaign, perhaps around an arc, and then have to travel to Tokyo at the end of November. So it's not easy.
Just before I came in here, I met Rory O'Connor, who's regularly on Off the Ball, and he's flying out to Japan in the morning. And the horse Japan was Antipost's favourite for the Champion Stakes, but doesn't run. And we have obviously visitors from Japan coming over, including Deirdre. So it's certainly all about Japan at the moment.
Okay, so that is in. It's on Saturday that Japan is running in the Kipco.
Yeah,
it's Kipco Irish Champion Stakes. It goes to 4:15.
1.25 million prize money as well, and there are a lot of aspects to the race. I suppose Deirdre's obviously the fascinating runner, the dark horse. Magical Rate 122. She's been running into Enable, and she doesn't run into her on Saturday, which probably makes her the horse to beat. But the big story is Mad Moon. Kevin Prendergast, he's looking for probably his biggest career win at the age of 87. It's really crazy stuff when you think about it. He still goes to the sales, likes a few pints, goes fishing, big man for the shooting. You know, he's just an absolute inspiration to everyone. Give up cigarettes at 50 years of age. I remember when this horse won here last year, he was like, I'm guessing something to make it a bit easier getting up in the winter, and he was a 2-year-old then, and now he goes into Champion Stakes and he has his realistic chance.
I mean, definitely does, and it'll be some story, you know. Ken Prendergast, I was only thinking the other day, there should be a book written on him. Mm. You know, somebody should sit down and spend time with him. There you go.
Another winter project for you, John.
Well, it's a compressed media world now with the likes of Fran coming in, when you get these ex-pros coming in.
Hey.
But exactly. I was thinking of Gary Neville. Didn't know if I could mention it, but it would be a great story. Like, I mean, just his, like, Darkie Prendergast, his own pedigree, where he came from. The fact fact that he doesn't have an heir apparent either, you know, which is consistent with a lot of these legendary veteran trainers in Ireland now. There's no heir apparent at the big 4 yards, kind of. And what a story to tell. And this would be the last chapter, I suppose, if Mad Moon were to win.
It'd be something else. It'd be, you know, just something to savour, and hopefully it will happen.
Let's have a look at the card again there. So on this one, Fran, talk us through any of the rest of the threats to Mad Moon.
The most interesting horse for me, outside of Magical, who, you know, has been second enabled on her twice this year, and Crystal Ocean, she's a worthy favourite and it does deserve her turn. But LR Cam has been supplemented by Mark Johnson. I think at 4 or 5 20s represents strong each way, no lose value. The 8 runners, it breaks down well. He was slightly unlucky against Japan in York, in that he couldn't go to pace when it picked up 3 furlongs out, and was staying on well again at the end before running up the back of the first two. The outside track in Leperson should play to his strengths, and I just think he's a bit of value to price. He's going to be in the mix. Headman's an interesting horse. He's a king man of Roger Charlton's. He's been winning possibly soft enough group race in France, but he looks exciting. Jason Watson, first rider on Leperson, that'd be a big worry for me. It's a very tactical track, and he wouldn't be the first rider to have his first rider on Leperson to have a bit of problems.
Why so tactical? What's the story?
It's a very tricky track. You know, it takes a lot of knowing, and you know, you've seen over the years, you've seen Daryl Holland going back to Falbrave, you've seen Christophe Soumy on an Azamour. It can just get a very tactical, it's a relatively short straight. It's only got two.
I genuinely think that Falbrave that day, like, that was one of my favourite races of all time.
So what happened?
I think, well, High Chaparral won the race, but Falbrave should have won the race, and I think he didn't win the race because Daryl Holland wasn't that familiar with Leopardstown, being honest with you.
Is part of this the Irish jockeys getting in the arriving jockeys' heads and going, oh, listen, this is really, I'm telling you, you think you've seen it all, but you ain't seen this.
Well, we had, like, Fantastic Like Galileo was one of the most intriguing tactical races you'll ever see, and Frankie, in fairness, knew what he was at that day, but, like, what a race to ride in, because Leopardstown isn't the most straightforward track.
No, and you've seen Chris Asumi on an Azamour, but when Mick Canaan was injured, he ran into all sorts of problems, so it can be a tough track for riders who don't know. It takes a bit of knowing. It took a long time for me, you know, to get the hang of it, and I'd say it's just as well he's drawn stall 7, and Jim Crowley wouldn't get caught out anyway, but he's drawn stall 8, so at least gives them options to go in or out.
Okay, so what kind of a race do you expect it to be?
Strong gallop, I'd say. You know, Aidan will want a good even pace for Magical. She likes to sit off them, and you know, the likes of Hunting Horn, he'll go along at a good gallop, and if that's the case, it should even it up and make it a fair enough race for in the finish.
Yeah, my favourite race of the entire year is the Champion Stakes. It pits fillies against males, milers against mile and a half horses, 3-year-olds against older horses. That's, you know, our best race, or my favourite racetrack in Ireland, anyway, in Leopardstown. The weather has been, you know, perfect this week, really, to set up. A beautiful day for racing on Saturday, and probably with Magical, but my heart is definitely saying Mad Moon, to be honest. I think Sunday's going to be a very emotional day at the Curragh for racing. I think Saturday will be right up there if Kevin Prendergast could win it. Now, he'll play it down, as he always does. He'll say, well, what's the big deal? You know, sure, I'm after going to the yearling sales, you know. But I genuinely think Mad Moon has a chance. He likes Leopardstown. Mile and two will be his trip. Probably not quite good enough, but I think, you know, there is the kind of the variance of the look of the draw, how things go. There could be a bit of trouble in running, and I've seen it before. I think he's a chance. Probably, I wouldn't rule out Deirdre as well off a good gallop. She's fairly unexposed at the top level when she's a good pace to sit off, and she did beat good fillies the last day.
Okay, she'd been over in the UK recently.
Yeah, she's been over for a couple of races. Obviously, won the Nassau Stakes.
Did they keep her over for a while, and then?
Yeah, I think they kept her over. I don't know where she's been stationed, but she beat Hermosa the last day in the Nassau Stakes. It was an absolute mess for a race for Hermosa, and she runs in the Matron, which is on the main one on the undercard on Saturday.
Okay, well, let's talk about the rest of the racing on Saturday. If that's your favourite race of the entire year, Johnny, what else on Saturday are you?
Well, we have to start off with the first race because you know, this used to be a maiden, which was a slightly, I suppose, anomalous for the Champion Stakes weekend, because all of the races were lucrative handicaps listed or group races, and it was such a good race. I think they just said, well, if this is like a maiden, a listed race masquerading as a maiden, we may as well just make a listed race. And a little horse here by the name of Lady Jane Wild, who won at 66-1 at the Curragh first time out. Now, there's a nice story behind this horse, because it was bred by Frank Berry's wife Claire, which would mean it was also bred by Fran Berry's mother. So I would have thought that I developed a good relationship with Fran over the recent times, but then this one at 66-1, and I realised that I actually hadn't know you at all. 66-1, it wasn't unfancied at the Curragh for Aidan Howard.
No, she wasn't unfancied. She went there, we did like her. Aidan Howard was very confident that she'd definitely win a maiden, but we just thought, give her a nice run up to Curragh, see where we're at, and she came through and Julie won, and won well, and that's very exciting. She's moved on to John Ox now and Barbara Keller, and best luck to them. I hope she does well. Ground on Saturday would be the big unknown for her. She handled soft ground very well that day, and it'd be interesting to see how she performs on better ground on Saturday.
Okay, so there's the card as it stands at the minute.
I'd say she is a very good filly. Obviously, this is a good race. Dermot Wells' filly isn't actually... I don't think he's declared anyone, actually, looking at it there. He'd a very interesting runner by Galileo. He hasn't entered, so it might take a small bit less winning, but it's a proper race. Nurse Barber won well at Cork recently as well, but I think if Lady Jane Wilde handles the ground, she's a very good chance.
Our form's worked out the best. It's probably worked out to be one of the best main. Oh, she won very well, and there's been four or five winners come out of the race since, you know, so it wasn't a fluke, and you know, it's very, very possible. If handling good ground, she is the best form in the race.
Okay, what else are we looking at on Leopardstown on Saturday?
Where do you want to start, friend? Our old friend One Cool Poet is bidding for the four-timer, obviously, in the Patingo handicap under Billy Lee. He spoke to his trainer yesterday. It is a big ask. But the KPMG Champion Juvenile Stakes is a fascinating race, and Mogul is very, very interesting there, I thought.
Yeah, he's been very good, and looks a good opportunity for him. Sinowan and Michael Halford is an interesting contender. Installed two, Ronan Wheel and one of the Aga Khan's. But
another Kingman horse as well. He produced a lovely performance. I thought he won quite readily at the Curragh when he was challenged. He went away, and Michael Halford has a nice team this weekend. He's definitely interesting as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about the weekend as a whole before we get on to Sunday. The whole notion of putting these two meetings together, when it was first mooted, people were like, well, you know, it's going to take away from the Leopardstown meeting, it's going to take away from the Curragh meeting. But actually what it's done is make everybody focused on flat racing for an entire weekend. It seems to have been a massive success.
Oh, it's been huge. You know, it's garnered international recognition, which is the most important thing, and locally as well. And hopefully the Curragh can match up on Sunday. You know, it hasn't done that to date, but under the guidance of Pat Keogh, I'm sure it will. And, you know, it's been a showcase for Irish racing, and it's grown every year, and the quality of the horses mightn't be, you know, it's a bit disappointing Batash hasn't turned up on Sunday for the Flying Five, which is now Group 1, but it's a fantastic weekend, and the effort that's gone into is huge.
Yeah, it makes sense. All the best ideas are like, oh, why didn't they do that years ago? And it's like, oh, that just makes sense.
Yeah, I remember Pat Smullen winning on a horse, first Champions Weekend. Can't remember the name of the horse now, but I remember he was talking about it afterwards, and you could really hear the roar of the crowd. And I think it's something we've lost in Irish racing. It was Free Eagle, actually, yeah. And I remember, like, there was this real buzz, and it was like Cheltenham. All the jockeys started like punching the air across the line. That doesn't really happen in flat races. They're probably a bit more reserved, but I think the crowd in Ireland, if you go back to Fantastic Like Galileo and the roar of the crowd, there were about 20,000 people at Leopardstown that day. We've lost the engagement of the crowd at flat meetings, and I think our race courses don't really capture the noise of the crowd enough, because I think, like, it's like when a goal is scored on TV. A goal is a lot better goal if there's a huge roar from the crowd on TV. It just gets you going, and I think this race, this festival has that potential, and particularly the Curragh, I think, is going to be magic on Sunday. I think it's going to be the best day at the Curragh in years. But Leopardstown, there will be a real buzz, and when you go in there and you feel that buzz, there's nothing worse than a good race and a nobody there. And I just think you need to appreciate it. And I'm a massive fan this weekend, and just the racing is so good, and also the fact that if you're in the parade ring, you can see the most beautiful animals in the world who've been looked after and manicured like no other, and it's just it takes the box in all levels, and I think the weather's going to be good as well.
Yeah, a reminder, Friday Night Racing brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Feel every racing moment. Let's talk about what's going to happen on Sunday. The Pat Smullen auction for Cancer Trials Ireland is ongoing at the moment. You can search Pat Smullen Gala Bid on Google and you'll find a whole host of items to bid on, including a chance to caddy for Shane Lowry at the Irish Open next year, a Ronan O'Gara coaching session. There's also the chef, Fishy Fishy, will come to your gaff and cook for 10 of you, and the auction closes at 7 o'clock this Sunday night after racing, when a bunch of our top former jockeys and current jockeys are going to race in the special champions race. All the money raised is going to go to pancreatic cancer trials. This is like genuinely going to cancer trials. So it's helping to cure the disease. It will be a pretty emotional weekend for everybody, given that Pat's Mullen recently had that health setback.
It will. Unfortunately, as we all know, Pat can't ride in the race. He's undergone treatment again since, and he's determined to be there on Sunday, and he will be. And do you know the cast of riders that's been assembled for that race? We'll never see the like of that again. But it's all about cancer research. It's fundraising, and it's just bringing the racing community together. And I think it's this week has shown that it's a great effect. And you know, it's got to be remember Pat's family are going to be there, and his kids and everything, and you know it's going to be, you know, a special occasion. And I think the way people have got behind it says it all about how good racing people can be under difficult circumstances.
There's a picture of some of the jockeys taking part. I've got the full list for the Pat's Mullen Champions Race for Cancer Trials Ireland: Ruby Walsh, AP McCoy, Kieran Fallon, Johnny Murta, Richard Hughes, Charlie Swan, Joseph O'Brien, Ted Durkin, and Paul Carberry.
Yeah, obviously Horse Racing Ireland, you know, was there that morning at Joseph's, and I think Horse Racing Ireland put that photo up, and you couldn't pick a nicer scene in Irish racing. I suppose maybe you look at Killarney and Sligo, but it was a stunning morning. And then you've, you know, these are jockeys that aren't retired that long, with the exception of Charlie Swan, and we were having debates about which of them were the best, and it was kind of potato-potato, I suppose, in terms of what your favourite was. But this race has everything going for it, in that these lads are competitive. They will want to win, and they also know. And it looks like a tight enough race on ratings. It's not like there's some. If Smullen were riding in this race, genuinely, he might have got a soft lead, and they might have been like, "Well, do you really want to be beating Pat in this race?" So, you know, as much as Pat would love to be riding here, I think at least it might be that bit more competitive, because these lads are. McCoy's put on a few pounds now, and he's probably had to work hard. I actually, like, the man has starved himself for 20 years, who's entitled to eat a bit. And, he has to actually get his weight down to riding this. Ruby obviously isn't retired that long, but you know, funny enough, there are four Group 1 races on Sunday, but realistically this is a race an awful lot of people want to see most. And I think everything about it is special. I confidently predict, and if I'm wrong in this, I confidently predict there will be more people at the Curragh on Sunday than were at the Irish Derby, because if you don't want to go racing on Sunday, I don't know if you have any interest in racing. This is the layers of great horse run against each other. You have four Group 1s, but also you have something very special where you can actually fight cancer, you can play your part, and you can see these jockeys riding for the last time effectively. You know, you're not going to get Ruby and McCoy riding against each other again, and they wouldn't have come out of retirement for anyone, but they obviously did for Pat Smullen, and it's going to be special.
Because as opposed to 450, who's going to win it, Johnny?
I don't really know. I think it'll be a lot. You'd have to look at Equiton now, would have to have a chance. He's rated 88. Ozzy Valentine, you know, a horse a bit of a soft spot for. But Quizzical as well, who's been kind of kept busy. It's a lot of horses in the 80s, you know. I'd be lying if I said I've done an awful lot of study for it, but I'd probably be looking for a winner desperately at 450.
It's a rate to race. They're all going to be rate within a pound of each other, so it's going to be a very hard one to call. I'd say, you know, on the day. And
Yufton as well, who's obviously had a great season now with Dennis Hogan, and Ger Lyons, you know, he's given his commitment to the race, and Ger's been one of those very helpful as well. Cattyman, Catani, a lot of like fairly regular handicappers there. A copy of Verborn for Jim Bulger.
If Quizzical ran, he'd be very hard to beat. He was turning the Galway Mile at the big meeting, but I doubt he'd run there. I'm sure he'd run the 7 furlong handicap and something else in mind.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the big races then on Sunday, because the racing does look fairly spectacular, Johnny. What's the starting point?
I don't know what Fran thinks, because it depends on your, again, it depends on kind of what you're into in terms of racing, because I think the Ledger is a really deep renewal, but I think Armory and Pinatubo to me is kind of the clash. You're looking for these potential stars. It's Godolphin against Coolmore. It's one heavyweight against the other. It was the same last year. Quarto beat Andy Van Dyke. Pinatubo's four races unbeaten by Shamardell, one of the show piece kind of Darley stallions, and inevitably Armory's by Galileo. So it has all. It's a complete heavyweight clash. At the prices, I'd actually be with Armory, even though he's £10 to find. I think he's very, very good. And Pinatubo, with all due respect, maybe he hasn't come up against a proper O'Brien 2-year-old yet. I don't know what you think, Fran.
I was very impressed with Pinatubo, what he's done, and you got to remember he beat Lupe Fernandez in Goodwood by a long way, but perhaps
I don't think Lupe Fernandez
was
there,
at his best,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't even think he was in the same. I don't think he's their Guinness horse next year, but that way.
No, he's more of a sprinting type possibly anyway. But look, he's a stern test. He's leading 2-year-old at the moment, and Armory's got to improve to go and beat him. But he is a Galileo Armory, and you can never rule him out. And probably at the price, I can see what you're thinking with him.
Okay, so that's the St. Ledger. Should we talk about
that's the Vince O'Brien Goff's Champion Stakes, obviously. Maybe we'll start with the Flying Five.
I did a fair, I spoke to a fair few trainers during the week. I spoke to, in this race, I spoke to Martin Mead and Eddie Lynham. And Sophia's a nice story because Eddie Lynham's daughter, Amy's pinhooked the horse and she's turned into a proper good sprinter. I spoke to Darren Bunyan, who literally couldn't have been happier with Hit the Bid. And, you know, Fran says it's disappointing, but Tash isn't there and it is on one level. But on the other level, he would have won. So at least we've something to talk about.
Very true. And look, I think Sophia's going to be hard to beat based on that run to Curry. She beat some very good English sprinters that day well, and she's a real prospect for Eddie Lynham again.
Okay, so that is the Flying Five. Got to post 2:25. The Moyglare Stud Stakes?
Yeah, so I think from talking to Jessica Hearn this week, Albina will be the one for her. She's taking on Deya, who's trained by Roger Verry. And again, I spoke to him during the week. I just got the impression from talking to him that they're not 100% confident about a stiff 7 furlongs for her. She hasn't tried it before, and you know, I'd like to get Fran's opinion on this, but if you're riding a horse in a race who's absolutely guaranteed to stay a mile, not to mind 7 furlongs, against a horse who's run over 6, and there might be a slight question mark, as well as the fact that Albina, she just tries with racing. She's only raced twice. She was really strong at the wire both starts, and just as I spoke to Jessica, she'd done a bit of work and she was very, very happy. And Jessica, I mean, I don't know how she's going to run Kay and Pepper as well, but I like Albina.
Yeah, big fan of Albina. I think she'd be very hard to beat. Her first 2 runs over 6 furlongs, how she won both of them. She just didn't look at the race each time. The last 100 yards, she spread swings, wins 3 lengths, picks up 3 lengths to get up late on, and up to 7 furlongs. And with them, that experience under her belt, she's going to be very, very hard to beat. She's 5-2. I think she's a 7-4 chance myself.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So a bit of value there.
Nice to see a good bit of confidence, and because there are going to be some good bets this weekend. As competitive as it is, I do like her a lot.
Anything else on Sunday you want to talk about?
Yeah, obviously the Cormor Group International, Irish St. Ledger, the Cormor Group put a lot into Galway United and racing. They've probably got more out of racing so far, but they are represented in this race actually with Ray et al, trained by Luke. Spoke to Charlie Appleby this week. I mean, you look across counter, won the Melbourne Cup, but like he was saying, obviously that can take a lot out of horses. This horse has never missed a beat. He's always run well. He's just been running behind Stradivarius. Kew Gardens won the Ledger last year. You know, Capri might take his chance as well. Joseph O'Brien has Twilight Payne in Southern France. Latrobe, who obviously won the Irish Derby last year. Dermot Wells, Search for a Song, a filly who I think is going to be very, very good. Could be a Gold Cup horse next year. Fantastic race. And I actually don't know. I don't know what win it at this stage, to be honest.
I was kind of liking Capri just back up to mile 6. First time he's run over that since the Ledger. He did run at Chester in the year, but ground was bottomless and it was the first run of the year, second run of the year, should I say. But I think Kew Gardens back up to mile 6 is going to really play into his hands. And if ground stays good or better, he'd be hard to beat.
And the ground is going to be good this weekend, right?
Yeah, I think it's good yielding in the straight at the Curra. It's funny, I was talking to Darren Bunyan. He was very, he was giving you images of last year when he said, like, I went to bed on the Saturday night and I was buzzing, and then I woke up at 3 a.m. I could hear the rain rattling off the ceiling, and my heart just sunk because he said, I think that denied me my Group One with Hit the Bid because he needs top of the ground. But the Curra, you know, you have to talk to people in racing to appreciate what a fantastic track this is, and the ground is just in impeccable shape. And the Curra has been under, you know, scrutiny this year. We spoke to Joseph O'Brien that morning of the legends and all that, the champions. He did make a good point, like most of these things, they do have teething problems. The Curra has the teething problems, but it's a fantastic racetrack, and I think, you know, if you go, I've even got the girlfriend's mother is coming on Sunday. I've talked her into going to Curra because they said, and the girlfriend's like, are you sure you want my mother to come along? So absolutely, she has to go to the Curra to see, because I think Sunday will be a genuinely special day in racing for many reasons. Okay. And I think the Curra is in great nick at the moment. It's a beautiful racetrack, and I think it's going to be a great day.
All right. A reminder, the Tote Irish Interjockeys remains at €7,549 after Anything You Want to Be was well supported but ultimately disappointed last weekend at Navan. That's what it says here. Obviously, Longines Irish Champions Weekend is the highlight of the Irish racing flat calendar. 6 Group 1 races up for grabs over the 2 days at Leopardstown and the Curra. The St. Ledger, obviously the final classic of the season in the UK. Aidan O'Brien sends a strong team over to Doncaster, headed by Sir Dragonet and Il Paradiso. What's going to happen in that race?
I don't think he'll win it, to be honest. The Frankel horse just looks
If Japan ran in this now, I think it'd be an amazing race. I think Japan wants a trip. I think that might be partly why he's not going in the Champion Stakes. I don't know what you think of it. I thought when he beat Chris Loesch in the last year, I thought he was really at the minimum trip for him. He was just kept going. But he isn't. I think Logician will win.
Yeah, Logician's going to be very hard to beat. That was a bit huge performance in York, and he's going to be better stepping up another quarter of a mile. Sir Dragon A, you'd give him his last run, and he is a worthy contender, and looks between the two of them really. And you know, getting back to Japan, I'd say they're training for the arc, and that's going to be his main goal. He won in France early in the year, and you know, be a worthy contender, enabled with the weight for age, maybe.
When is the arc?
First Sunday in October.
Okay, so soon enough. 3 weeks, yeah. 2 weeks away at this stage. Tote customers can enjoy free racecourse tickets to selected meetings throughout the year. Check out thetote.com for more details. Where's the money going this week?
I'll actually leave it to Fran. He's our guest this week, because I think he might be tipping what I'd be tipping in any event, but he can also take the flak if it doesn't work out.
Hey.
It's a bit like giving a taxi driver a tip, because if it doesn't win, you'll never meet the taxi driver again, although in Dublin, actually, you probably will. And you say, you get me, this happened to me a few times, where it's like, you're the lad that gave me that tip, and this would be like 3 years ago. And I was like, honestly, I don't remember that. Anyway.
I think Giant Decision, Al Bignell for the Myler Stud Stakes. She's 5-2 at the moment. I think that's a big price.
Okay. Was that your tip?
Yeah, happy days, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Joint Decision. Yeah. At 5-2 at the moment, and it's on the nose to win. This is, no, we're not going to try, are we?
You're more like, this is for Gerard rather than the injured jockey's one.
No, this is for the injured jockey's one, obviously. Right, we're here with thanks to Horse Racing Ireland. Feel every racing moment. Frank, good stuff. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
Congratulations on the new career. And I don't know, because like, sometimes people don't actually say, when you finish a career like that, it was a great career. Congratulations. I hope you feel that.
Yeah, I do indeed. Yeah, I know it's a very appreciated time I had, and it's something to be proud of looking back on it now.
Yeah, fair play. Johnny, good stuff.
Thanks, sure. Hopefully it's a great weekend.
Yeah. Get down to the car on Sunday if you're interested. What was your line? If you're interested in racing, you're not going on Sunday, I don't know what's wrong with you.
What hope do you have? Like, if you're more interested in going to Mickey Mouse meetings because you can basically, you know, have a few drinks and have the crack, that's fine. That's your prerogative. If you've any interest in racing, you should be at the Curragh.
On that note,
or Leopardstown, obviously, on Saturday.
On that note, Friday Night Racing is in the books. We'll see you next week. Thanks very much.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.